In my home growing up, we had a one-word saying. Whenever somebody asked a dumb question, like, what's for supper? The answer would be, Laros. I'd forgotten about this story for a long time, until a few weeks back when I was preparing for today. And it came to mind as I read this particular passage. To be honest, I don't really know what Laros means, at least not when my parents said it. I mean, strictly speaking. And I don't really remember which parent it was. I contacted my two sisters, and one of them said, oh, it was Dad. And the other one said, no, it was Mom. Laros. I guess the basic mention is, the basic message of the word Laros is, mind your own business, or nicely put, don't ask. Laros. Nonsense, really. I mean, it wasn't a bad question, for instance. What's for supper? Right? Because you got to eat. Laros. As I was looking at this passage, and I came to the 11th verse, which was the response of the disciples to the message of the women who had witnessed the resurrection. It says, in various different translations, it comes out differently. It says, well, mine, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. That's how the Revised, the New Revised, and the King James. The New English, the NIV, and the JB say it's a bunch of nonsense. The Living, remember that Bible, the Living Bible, says a fairy tale. Phillips called it sheer imagination. The Message says they thought they were making it up. The Laughing Bird, which I use a lot, it's a paraphrase from Australia. It says they considered it a hysterical delusion. I thought that was quite interesting. Hysterical. You know where that word comes from, don't you? Hysterical. Comes from the word hystera in Greek, which means womb. In some ways it was a reaction, a tale from the womb, the story. But in the Greek here, the language of the New Testament, it's not hystera. Do you know what the Greek word is? I've already said it. The Greek word is Laros. I wish my folks were alive so I could ask them, where did you get that word? Did you hear some sermon where the minister was talking about this or something? I mean, okay. Here you have the women who have gone in various different versions of the story. And for the sunrise service, we heard the story from John's Gospel, which has it quite different. Rising again is experienced differently by each one, every one of us. But here you have the women going with their, and I was at a Good Friday service, and I was listening to Luke's account, the full account of the death and resurrection. And when I came to this part about the women had on Friday prepared the spices, because you can't do that on Saturday. That would be the Sabbath day. They had prepared, and it was sort of the first thing that came to my mind, I know, maybe stupid, was marinade. But in a way, that is what these spices were. They were for preparing the body for death. I mean, death has already happened, but they were coming because they couldn't do it. There was not enough time on Friday to get everything done. They had to wait till Sunday morning. And they came with their marinade. Well, no, their spices. And they came, but they came expecting something totally different, didn't they? and they were worried about how they were going to get done the task that needed to be gotten done, because they knew that there was a big stone, and forgive me, they were just women. But women had a lot of power. They're the bearers of the first message of the resurrection. Never, ever, ever forget that. They come. They don't have to move the stone. The stone's already moved. And they go in, and they just see the cloth. There's no body. What do you do with spices when you don't got a body? They didn't know what to do. And according to Luke, they encountered some people they weren't expecting. You know, the dazzling white. You know, what are we to make of this other than just to say, oh, something is very, very different here. We're not in Kansas anymore. And the message, which is but a reminder. The first message of resurrection is a reminder. Did you catch that? Remember, he already told you this stuff. And these women, they were there. I mean, these were disciples too. They weren't the 12 of the 12 men disciples, but there were lots of disciples, and these women were some of them. And they had heard what Jesus said. And as these fellas, seraphim, I don't know, angels, what do you make of these people in dazzling clothes? As they spoke, it was like, thong. Yeah. Yeah. And that is what they brought back. That's what they brought back to the rest of the disciples. Not just saying what had happened, but they were trying to make connections. I'm sure they remembered what Jesus had said, so they said what Jesus had said, and still those male disciples thought it was a bunch of nonsense. These are a bunch of hysterical women with a bunch of leros. But it wasn't leros, was it? Those of you who were able to come on Thursday night, we celebrated Love Feast, and we gathered around the table, and that was sort of the theme for the evening, because after all, it was April 1st. So we considered the fact that, as the Apostle Paul puts it in his first letter to the Corinthians, you know, there's a bunch of foolishness here, but who is the real fool? I mean, the folly of the cross, you know, this being a symbol of, when you think of it, our faith, we have this in the center of our sanctuary. This is a symbol of terror. This is what the Roman Empire used to keep order. They lined the roads into Jerusalem with crosses upon which hung people who rebelled. That's how they kept order. This was a tool of death. We have hanging in the front of our sanctuary a tool of death, but in the foolishness of it all, it is instead a symbol of life. We use this as a prism to look through at our world and see things in a different way. Now, is that foolishness? Yes. We look at desperate situations, and where other people might see nothing or just despair, no reason for hope. We have hope. If for this life only we had hope, we would be lost. But we are able to see in a different way. Leros? Yeah. But. You know, there's another question I remember asking with frequency. When I was growing up, I'm sure you asked it. It often happened when you were on the road. What do you ask? What kids ask parents when you've been in that car for hours and hours and hours? What do you ask? Are we there? Are we there yet? Oh, come on. You want to say, you know, I don't remember my parents saying Leros. then, but that's about what it was. There are lots of different ways you could give an answer to that. You could say, sit down and shut up. We're not going to get there for hours. Or you could hold the map up and you see, we're here. We want to get way over there. Which, to a kid, means absolutely nothing. Okay? Folks, faith is a journey. You got that? We don't arrive. The moment you step into the water and are baptized, that's about the beginning of the journey. And even today, today isn't the end result. We're not coming in here and, you know, celebrating and okay, it's all done and go. Let's go on with life as it was. No, this is a fresh beginning. This is a new start. It's a new day. And being a new day, we're taking off on a new, fresh journey. And we may wonder, because we've got our aches and pains along the way. We've got our sorrows. We've got our troubles. We worry about people. We got people like Lois that, doggone it. It's about all I can say in relation to that. And yet, there's this future hope. It's not that we want to put all our hope, you know, in that basket way over there in Never Never Land. Because heaven is something that hope, it influences our now. It gives us the ability to live now and to walk now because we're headed towards somewhere. And it's not a bunch of laros. It's not a bunch of nonsense. Of course, many may think it that way. But do we? No. Now, the answer to that question, the best answer to that question, are we there yet, is what? It's one word. It's not Leros. It's the word soon. Almost. Almost. That's the word a kid wants to hear. Right? That's the word we want to hear. Almost. Are we there yet? Almost. So keep on going. Keep on walking. That's the message we proclaim. Christ has risen. Hallelujah. We can rise and we can, note the word, walk in newness of life. Because the road stretches ahead. And it's not the yellow brick highway, but it's the road of God's kingdom. Shall we stand and sing together another Easter song and proclaim as we sing the good tidings?